Coming to you from 4,200 feet in the hills of Oregon, it's the voice of Chi-Town, the reddest beard in the high desert, your host of the Make It Out Alive broadcast, Sam Wilson. All right, folks, let's get right into it. Hopefully everyone's doing well. If you live locally here in southern Oregon, where I'm at in Klamath County, the city of Chiloquin, you are probably experiencing some pretty significant snowfall and other natural disaster effects on your life. Maybe no electricity, maybe no water, maybe no internet. So hopefully you have planned ahead to make it out alive. If you'll recall, last week's broadcast came out on Saturday, the day before we had a significant snowfall, and hopefully it was able to help some people out. If not, maybe we'll get it this time. Let's get right into our news report, though. Let's go here. Where do we start off? We are at Lakeview, Illinois. Lakeview is a neighborhood in Chicago, so Chicago, Illinois. A man was attacked with a baseball bat in Lakeview on Wednesday afternoon, Chicago police said. The incident happened as the victim was sitting in his car in the 700 block of Sheridan Road around 7:13 p.m. So, if you'll recall, one of the things we were discussing, and it's going to be a constant theme in this show, is situational awareness. What is situational awareness? Situational awareness is being aware of your surroundings and what's going on around you. Why is that important? Well, let's see. The man was sitting in his car. The 30-year-old man said a man and a woman approached him, Chicago police said. They apparently drug him out of his own car and started to attack the victim with a baseball bat. So the man started to attack the victim with a baseball bat while the woman allegedly kicked and pepper sprayed him, police said. So imagine that. You're sitting in your car, maybe having a coffee break or watching some TikToks or whatever it is you're doing. Unfortunately, you haven't probably, we don't know, the story doesn't exactly tell us, but you haven't locked your door and rolled your window up. What happens? Some guy and a woman walk up, drag you out of your car, pepper spray you in the eyes, start shouting profanities at you, and start kicking you in the head, Goodfellas style, while the other guy goes upside your head with a baseball bat, all in broad daylight, while people are probably staring and taping it with their phones. I mean, this is horrible. Imagine this is happening to you. One minute, you're catching the latest update on what's going on with some celebrity and their cheating scandal, and the next thing you know, you're getting your head kicked in and baseball batted and pepper sprayed in broad daylight in Chicago. The victim was taken to the hospital where he was treated and released. No one is in custody. Chicago detectives are investigating, it says. So basically, it sounds like they're probably going to get away with it. Can you imagine what that's like? You're sitting there one minute just looking at your phone or having a coffee, and the next thing you know, you're pepper sprayed, screamed at, smacked upside the head with a ball bat, and kicked in the head while you're rolling on the ground screaming in agony. If you've ever been pepper sprayed, it can be a terrifying event. Typically, when you get pepper sprayed, especially if it's a good shot right in the eyes, you're going to go blind for 12 to 15 minutes. You're not going to be able to see anything. You're just flying blind. So now all you've got is the audio of these people probably yelling. Most of the violent assaults I've seen, and I've seen more than my fair share of them, for some reason people like to yell and scream obscenities while they do it. So you're on the ground getting your head kicked in, and a guy with a baseball bat is beating your head in, and the woman is kicking you. And it doesn't say that anything was stolen. So I don't know what the actual motive was here, but situational awareness tip number one, I used to get, or I still do occasionally, get laughed at by friends or family when I tell them, as soon as you get in your car, roll up the windows and lock the doors. Even if you're warming up the car in your own driveway, you never know. This guy was just sitting there one minute in his car, the next minute he's blind, screaming in agony on the ground while he's getting walloped and beaten with a ball bat. What a shame. There's a reason they call it Chirac. Now, I used to go years ago. I would visit Chicago. I love that town. This is going back a few years, but before it really got crazy, Chicago was a great place to visit. So when we would get to town, there were two places we would go for pizza, Giordano's and Lou Malnati's. Amazing Chicago-style pizza. If you've never had it, they're the two great pizza styles in America are, and I know we have a number of foreign listeners, or listeners from around the world, we'll call them abroad. Foreign may seem derogatory to some folks. Listeners abroad. In America, there are the two primary styles of pizza, I would say, are the Chicago style and New York style. There's also St. Louis style, which is absolutely delicious in its own right, but we'll cover that another day. New York style is the style of pizza most people are used to seeing, the large, thin slice, cheese, got a little bit of crisp to it, but a thin slice and a nice crispy crust. Chicago style couldn't be any different. It's basically more of a pie, and I'm not going to go too much further describing it because purists will not agree with how I put it, because I'm not a connoisseur of pizzas. I just know what I like to eat. That being said, there's no real way in my mind to fully compare the two because they're so different. They're absolutely amazing in their own rights, but that's where we would go, Giordano's and Lou Malnati's. I'm sure there are plenty of other amazing places, and I'm not being paid to plug anyone. What else would we do there? We would get, okay, so if you've never had a Chicago dog, we would go to this place called Portillo's, and you would get a Chicago dog, which was a special type of bun. I think it had like, it was almost like a Kaiser roll or something. It had seeds on it, and then there would be tomatoes and a pickle and some kind of pepper, and then like celery salt and mustard. It was absolutely delicious. I love a good hot dog. I'm a simple man with simple pleasures, and a Chicago dog is one of them. Just know this. There is no putting ketchup on a Chicago dog or any hot dog, in my opinion, of any kind. If someone puts ketchup on a hot dog, you need to be mistrustful of that person. I'm not saying they're automatically a commie, but you never know, okay? All right. That being said, the Riverwalk was amazing, too. I don't know what it's like now. When I Googled the Riverwalk a couple of years ago, the first story that popped up was a dead body floated up to the shore of the Riverwalk. So if you've never been to Chicago, again, it was, I don't know what it's like now, but it was an absolutely amazing, beautiful city. The Riverwalk is like this mile and a half walk along the Chicago River. There's all kinds of outdoor eating and shops. It is just amazing. You would get, the thing I remember the most from the Riverwalk itself wasn't food, but a snack. I think it was called Garrett's. It was popcorn. It was a blend of like the cheese dust coated and caramel popcorn, and it was absolutely amazing. It may not sound like a good flavor combination, but in practice or in reality, it was absolutely amazing. And they must have used, the thing that struck me at the time was they must use some particular species or type of corn, because the popped corn with the caramel and the cheese flavor, it was very bulbous and round. It was just a really good flavor. The whole thing was very well done. Enjoyed it quite a bit. Again, I don't know if they're even still in business or not. I hope so. They provided a good product. But anyway, be aware, folks, when you get in your car, lock that door, roll up the window, and keep your, as they say, some folks say, keep your head on a swivel. Be looking around, because this poor guy was just sitting there eating a sandwich or watching his phone, and the next thing you know, he's being brutally assaulted in the streets of Chirac. Our next story, January 22nd, 2025, coming out of Florida. By Tuesday afternoon, Northwest Florida was mostly covered in record-breaking snowfall, and it was still snowing. The National Weather Service reported total snowfall at 9.8 inches in Milton. Milton is, if you're not familiar with a panhandle, Milton is about 20, 30 minutes or so away from Pensacola, which is also in the panhandle. Beautiful white sand beaches in Pensacola. Absolutely wonderful. Listen to a revival band, Three Dog Night, there once many years ago. I think the rest of the band had been replaced, but Chuck Negron was the lead singer. He was still, I believe, unless memory fails me, and he was singing that night. Really nice. Good memory. This broke the state's previous record. They got 9.8 inches, okay? Last 2 weeks ago, if that, a week and a half ago, they got 9.8 inches. The previous record was 4 inches in 1954, which also occurred in Milton. Now, the Weather Channel says this was an unprecedented event, a likely once-in-a-lifetime event, yada, yada, yada. Pensacola, which more people are familiar with, Pensacola, Florida, they got 8.9 inches there, shattering the previous record in Pensacola. Their previous record of snowfall was 3 inches. When was this record set? In 1895. Okay? Thank goodness global warming is keeping that snow at bay. Otherwise, we'd be in serious trouble here. Okaloosa County, they got up to 9 inches, according to the National Weather Service. Okay, now, what is the point? Imagine you're in Florida. Now, for those of you not in the States, Florida is basically a tropical environment down on the Gulf of America, and they do not get snow very frequently, okay? All of a sudden, you wake up one day, it snows nonstop for 2 days straight, and now you have nearly 10 inches of snow in a place that is not equipped to handle snow. What happened? During a critical 24-hour period from 9 a.m. Tuesday to 9 a.m. Wednesday, emergency services, EMS, responded to 246 service calls, while Escambia County is where Pensacola is, Escambia County Fire Rescue handled 57 emergency calls. On Thursday, the county reported that from 7 a.m. Tuesday to 1 p.m. Thursday, that's 54 hours, emergency communications dispatched 960 calls for service throughout the county, including 568 emergency medical services calls and 392 fire rescue calls. Obviously, they were urging people to stay at home. What do we learn? Okay, the practical aspect for me right off the bat is driving. The article goes into some length about how roads were just decimated. There was obviously a thin layer of ice covered by snow. If you live in an area like where I am, where snow is a frequent occurrence, you know that led to very dangerous, difficult driving conditions. That's around people that drive in snow every year. We get snow. 3 inches here is absolutely, we wouldn't even know it's snowing. That's a Wednesday. And people drive horribly in it because they don't slow down. They're not defensively driving. They're not prepared for this. Now imagine you're in Florida. I don't even know when the last time they got snow, but the last time they got that much snow was 1895. You want to talk about crashes? And I mean, well, here, what do we have? In a 24-hour period, Walton County Sheriff's Office advised Walton County Sheriff's Office had responded to more than 20 traffic crashes and 30 disabled vehicles by Wednesday afternoon. That's 24 hours. 20 crashes, 30 disabled vehicles. That's what they responded to. Who knows what else took place? So what is the point? In preparedness for this, you may say, what could I have done? If you're prepared and you are aware of the risks and dangers, when something like that happens, an unprecedented almost event in your lifetime, it'd been two or three generations since they got that much snow before. What do? You stay home. There's no need to be on the road. Nothing is that important unless it's a medical emergency, in which case, you know, you got to make your decisions. But in general, going to work or going out and getting a Big Mac is not that important. Stay home. A lot of that could have prevented if people, most likely could have been prevented if people would stay home. That's part of the situational awareness. It's not always taking some big heroic action or having a go bag or whatever else. Sometimes it's just making a good common sense choice. Now, question. This is something that's been on my mind, and I know it's been on other people's minds as well. I've talked with people, and you hear this on social media too, especially in the U.S., tipping culture has gotten out of control. Now, I'm going to lay out a brief scenario for you, and we're going to discuss it after the break. What would you do? Let's say you go to a restaurant, not a fancy restaurant, just a regular, a burger joint, a taco joint, whatever. Let's say you walk in, you order, the cashier messes up your order, or cashier, I don't know what they were supposed to call them, if that's the politically correct term or not, but I'm going to use the word cashier. Let's say the cashier processes your order, you pay, they overcharge you, and then get your order wrong, and on top of that, demand a tip. What would you do? We'll talk about it after the break. More Make It Out Alive with Sam Wilson after this.